Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, with 42 verses, translation and commentary. And also, we're doing part 11 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have several letters and emails. But right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint outwardly this tape, the message. And Lord, Father God, we ask that you pour out your, that you open up every heart, soul, mind, and spirit to receive everything that's on this tape, that their souls might be edified, that the church may be edified, and that souls in the world will be saved. And come out of the world and come into the realm of the supernatural, the eternal living God, the permanent life of our eternal living God. Lord, we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go. Where's the first letter from?
From Glasgow, Scotland.
All right.
Dear Pastor Alamo, New Jerusalem, greetings. I talked to a man about the Lord while distributing your literature. He is deeply involved in Catholicism and said that he is also an exorcist.
Okay. If he's a Catholic, he cannot be an exorcist because he is not... the Lord doesn't have exorcists. That's something that some movie company made up, that there are exorcists and... that they come in and hit people with water and all this sort of mumbo-jumbo. But the Lord casts out demons. Human beings do not do that. And if he is not born again of the Spirit himself, then he himself is a prisoner of Satan. And so, but go on with the rest of the letter.
Although he did not believe the true gospel.
See, right there shows you. If he doesn't believe the gospel, then he cannot cast out devils. All right?
Yes.
You have to first believe the gospel, the good news. You must die and then be buried and then be resurrected in order for you to be born again of the Spirit. And the signs that follow those that believe, that are born again of the Spirit... is the ability to be able to preach the word to people and to lay hands on the sick and afflicted and also to cast out devils. But that isn't called exorcism. That's called casting out devils. Okay? That's what Jesus did. By the Spirit of God. Those that are really prayed up. And the Lord tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray always. And the Apostle Paul reiterates, by the Lord's Spirit, to pray without ceasing. And when we do that and we fast, we have the ability, if we're born again of the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit, that we have the ability to distribute or dispense the Spirit of God into others to where the spirit of Satan leaves. When a person gets saved... Spirit of the Lord enters into them, and the spirit of Satan has to leave. Amen?
Amen.
So the best way to get rid of demons is to just preach the gospel to people, and people that are murderers, they have a demon of murder, they have all sorts of demons, drug addictions, alcoholic addiction demons, and all homosexual demons, and lesbian demons, every adulterous demons, all demons of lust, they leave the body when the Spirit of the Lord enters in. And so that is the, it isn't called exorcism, it's just called getting saved. Because when the Lord enters into a person, he boots every satanic spirit out of you. And you are born again. The Lord will not share a human body with the devil. Now, there can only be either the devil living in you or the Lord. Both will not abide together. And I can guarantee that the Lord is more powerful than Satan. So this man is, yes, get the literature to him in that regard. We have the address of the man. He wants Catholic doctrine. He wants my doctrine on the Vatican, which is directly from the Bible, and then also, and also documented facts of things that have transpired in this world that they have done. And then we also, I would send him scriptures in regarding, in regard to what I'm talking about right now. It'd be good for him to send him one of these tapes to tell him that he's not going to cast any devils out. The Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ says, will Satan cast out Satan? No, he will not cast out Satan any more than Jesus will cast out himself out of people's bodies. Amen?
Amen.
Do you think that, will you cast your own son, if he's just a real nice son or a daughter, out of your house? No. But if somebody is a devil, I will cast them out of my house. And that's what happens when Jesus enters the house, which is your body. Satan leaves immediately. And if you continue on in the Word of God, which is Spirit and permanent life, well, he cannot come back. But if you leave the Word, then Satan comes back to you, and he sees that the Lord has cast you out, the devil out, and he sees that the body inside is clean and garnished, and so he comes back, and he takes seven other demons with him. He invites them in to abide with him, more evil, more wicked than he himself was. And so the thing to do after you're saved is to continue reading the word of the Lord, which is Spirit and life, and it'll keep the Spirit of God in you and keep that demon that was once cast out of you and the other seven that want to come in with him, keep them away. So a reading of the Word each day will keep the devil and his other imps away. So forget about an apple a day keeps the doctor away. The reading of the Bible each day keeps Satan and his evil imps away. All right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then what else?
He nevertheless wanted to receive Pastor Alamo's literature regarding Catholicism and taped messages by Pastor Tony Alamo.
Right. Make sure he gets this one first. Then what?
And he gave his address.
Good. Now we've got his address. Mm-hmm. And I pray that this man will be born again of the Spirit and will realize that this is the way to really be able to cast out devils. But it won't be you doing it, sir. It will be Jesus. Jesus, the most powerful being in the entire universe. He is the wisdom and the power of God. Without Christ, the Son of God, there is no wisdom and power of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the wisdom of God, because we have to listen to what Jesus says in order to be saved. So absolutely, if you're not saved, you go to hell in the lake of fire. So there isn't anything more wise than to take Jesus and everything that he says and keep it as your wisdom and the power to overcome all the obstacles in this world. And not only to cast out devils, but to heal the sick and afflicted, and to raise the dead, and to heal blind eyes and leprosy and everything else, cancer, HIV. The Lord does it all. He's an all-inclusive Jesus. Everything is included. Everything good is included in Jesus. All right, then what?
Then from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Dear Pastor Tony, that was a great message track. Beware of the blessings from the Vatican. I would like a lot of them to distribute to Catholic friends.
All right, that piece of literature that we have there tells of all the different people the Pope blessed and they died, like President Kennedy and his brother the Pope blessed, the Titanic, and it went down. And it's just one thing after the other. And I said, I pray to God that the Pope never blesses me. So I think you'll enjoy this track. it's not only funny, but it's very true. And it's, sadly, it's true. So in a sense, it's funny, but it's in a sense also, it's very tragic. Okay, then what?
Please send quite a few and bill me.
Oh, we will not bill you, sir. You know, we really want people to tithe and give offerings to the Lord in His name. But we do not send bills. We don't charge for anything. But we could really, you know, if you read the book of Malachi, you'll see that you're robbing God if you do not support the ministry. Now, we're going on three more stations, radio stations, and one will be New York City, and covering all the boroughs around, plus upstate New York, plus San Francisco, and a lot of the areas around there, Napa Valley, clear to Napa Valley, and Fresno, and many of the other places around there, Sausalito, and also Dallas, Texas, which covers, let's see, Arlington and Dallas-Fort Worth area, and even goes down to Waco. So we, you know, we're worldwide now as far as our radio broadcasts are concerned, and also with the literature. And, you know, we could definitely use the Lord's finances. If you send in finances, well, then we can win more souls. And if you don't, well, of course, you're robbing God. Now, some people say, send in finances, and, oh, somebody just came and gave me a car, somebody gave me another car, and somebody gave me another car, and the Lord spoke to another person and gave me a car. That wasn't the Lord telling them to do that. That is so unscriptural, it's unbelievable. If they were really preaching the good message of the good news, and they were getting it out on radio stations and all over the world, well, then that would be something to support. But to just send people that you can see are buying cars and Rolls Royces and all these things, that, you know, we have to pattern ourselves after the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord never rode around. He rode on a donkey, okay? Now, if somebody wants to give me a donkey, all right, you know. But it's sort of unpractical today, especially if you're living in a major city. I'm just teasing you there, but you do. You're supposed to give tithes and offerings to the Lord for the people that are getting the gospel out. It costs thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to send our witnessing crews out to distribute the literature, and it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for us to be on radio all over the world. And we are all over the world. People in New Zealand, Australia, Africa, everywhere, the Philippines. Can you think of any place else? South America, everywhere, Central America, all over America, Canada, which is part of America, of course, and India. All the continents were on the air. And those of you that don't know what station we're on in your area, it's too vast for us to tell you on the air now or in our literature, because it would take pages. But if you'll email us, we will tell you what station and how to contact the station that we're on in your area. And our email is, Jeannie, tell them what our email is.
info@alamoministries.com.
So that's easy, right?
Yes.
And we'll tell you what station we're on in your area. All right, now what's next?
The rest, I am in the Lord's work distributing literature. Thank you, R.C. from White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Okay, then what? Praise the Lord for him, or her, whoever it is.
Then an email from Casablanca, Morocco.
Casablanca, Morocco. That's French-speaking out there. That's in Africa, I believe, right? Casablanca. Morocco is, I know. Then what else?
Dear Pastor, even if I don't know anyone personally in your ministry, I hope that the grace of our Lord is upon you. I had read most of the pamphlets that you've sent me before, and I find them very interesting. If I am writing you this email, it is because of a friend of mine who is from a Jewish background, and till now he isn't saved, unfortunately. As I know he is messianic, he is still waiting for the coming of the Messiah. I want to help him to know the Lord and get saved. For this matter, I would like to ask you to send me the New Testament and the book of Tony Alamo bearing the title The Messiah in Hebrew. Thank you.
Right. If he'll read that book, Messiah, in Hebrew, or we'll send him one in English and one in Hebrew also, and he'll see that it's exactly the same. We have it in all the languages. So, you know, if you know a Jewish person and you want them to be saved, get that book, free of charge, of course, and I believe they'll get saved. Okay, and then what's next?
Then from Malaysia Province, Solomon Islands. Dear beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, I had read some of your literatures and found them to be very informative and admiring indeed. I had learned a lot of very important issues around the world that contributes to the upcoming one world government. However, we as Christians are serving a powerful God of justice who always has and will always punish the ungodly for all the evil they have done.
That's exactly what I'm telling the President of the United States and everybody in the world. We don't have to bomb anybody. All we need to do is ask the Lord if they were really as terrible and Hitler's and so on as they say they are. We're the ones that the people got to watch out for, because we're following the orders of the Vatican, the administration here, and we pray that these people will get saved so that they quit bombing all these other nations, because these third world countries that are being bombed, they don't have enough finances to declare war against the troops here that are being sent there by the Vatican, United Nations. And so they're resorting to terrorism. And this is frightening the whole world. But as I said so many times before, that if you corner a rat, even a rat will come out fighting. So I don't know what the people in the United States and the United Nations expect from these people. If you are going to bomb my kids and my family, my loved ones, and you could care less who the bombs are dropping on, man, I'm telling you, somebody's going to come and start terrorizing you. And that's what's happening. That's the reason they're doing it. Because, and I'm not trying to justify anything they're doing either, but I tell you, if people would have relied strictly on the Lord, if they would just say, the Lord tells us not to use carnal weapons. He tells us to use the greatest weapon of all time, and that's the Word of God. If we could get to these Muslims and the Buddhists and Hindus and all these people and the Catholics, instead of condemning them, we are to preach the gospel to all these cults. And that's the way. Now, they're, of course, calling us a cult, but we're the peaceful ones. We're the ones that preach the same doctrine that God preaches. And Jesus was God in the flesh. And so, you know, if you want to call God a cult, I don't think you're going to like the repercussions of that when you're standing before the judgment bar of God. But the Lord says that when you call him or his people that he's living in a cult, that you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's the sin that's unforgivable here in this world and in the world to come with the kingdom of heaven. So I would be very careful about calling us a cult, because I'm telling you exactly what the Lord says. And if you want to call that cultish, and then you want to say that you're the real church because you're bombing people and killing innocent people, there's something greatly wrong with your brain and your spirit, your soul. You're a demon-possessed person. There's something radically wrong with you, and you need to repent right now before it becomes everlastingly too late. You know, the Lord is not going to go easy with you. The Lord is not like a man that he should repent. When he says that your soul will not be forgiven for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, he means it. And if he says that he's going to take you out and cause you to be destroyed with some of the plagues, some of the incredible plagues that he's going to be pouring out on this earth, and some of them he already is, we're living at the beginning of sorrows, and you're going to see the greatest tragedy of all times. The people that are doing these evil things on this earth are going to be utterly and completely destroyed by the Lord. And they're going to wind up at the judgment bar of the Lord, and they're going to be pleading and begging for their eternal souls, and it'll be too late. You have to repent on this side of eternity, or you can never repent. Once your spirit has left your body, you're left without any hope whatsoever if you have not taken care of your soul while you're here on earth. And it's not going to be nice for you at the judgment bar of God when you hear the Lord say, depart, go into the lake of fire. Go into hell in the lake of fire. You're going to be very sorry. And that's why the Lord has sent me, because I'm just brutally truthful enough to tell you what it's all about. Okay, now I know you've got all kinds of people around you that you watch on television that will tell you all kinds of things and try to make it look like they're so hip at the things that they're telling you, but believe me, these people are is as bad a shape as you are, and you need to get your soul saved and go to them and start telling them the same things that I'm telling you, because I'm coming to you straight from the Bible, from the Word of God. And you better not call, again, I reiterate, you better not call us a cult, or God a cult, or His Word cultish, because, or that His Word is dangerous, because anything other than His Word is dangerous. We never tell people to kill people. We don't have guns. We don't have any kind of carnal weapons. We don't even allow our children to have squirt guns or toy guns or any kind of military type toys or anything like that, because we trust in the Lord. I trust in God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that's what I preach, is for you to trust God. And if we trusted God, if everyone would trust Him, there would be an incredible way that we could live here. Nobody would be bombing anybody. Nobody would be terrorizing anyone. And even God would not terrorize people. But God is the professional terrorist. He's going to terrorize this world, all of you wicked people out there, if you don't repent, to the point to where you're going to wish to God that you was never born. That's the truth. And there's so many scriptures. Read my literature. If you don't have it, even if you don't like my message, you better read it. And if you don't believe my message, pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. You know, before I got saved, I thought the Bible would be the last place where the truth would be, because there's so many of them. But I tried reading all kinds of books. There was pictures of guys with long beards and these Merlin-type hats with the points on them. And they'd say that God is just all love and all this sort of stuff. And I knew better than that, because when the Lord introduced Himself to me, He threatened my life. He said, stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that He's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die and you'll go to hell. So that was a threat, so I knew that God wasn't all love, you know, or He wasn't Alfred E. Newman, you know, from the Mad magazine that always has a grin on His face. It just says, who me, worry? No, God is not like that at all. God is the way He says He is in the Bible. That's why you have to read the Bible to find out what God is all about, what He will go for and what He doesn't go for. And when He says He goes for something, that's fine. And if He doesn't go for it, you better believe He will not go for it. All right, and then what else?
As a young disciple of Christ, your literatures have broadened my knowledge on the Word of God, and thus further strengthened my life in Christ. Well, Pastor, I would kindly request your literatures for distribution, 2 Bibles and some of your audio and videotapes for some who are unable to read. I now realize that people in this part of the world are eager to read, see, and hear your Holy Spirit-filled messages.
Right. We're definitely, at this point, I'm having all of our messages transferred onto CDs. And all the, we were on television. We had the biggest, most fantastic television program on the air, and everyone since then has copied our format, but they didn't copy the message. The format was, you know, we had a large orchestra of people that we won to the Lord, And we had a big choir that we won to the Lord, everyone. But people now are paying people to be on television. They're paying the orchestra and paying all kinds of people to be on there. We paid, in a sense, because we built homes for all the people that we won to the Lord. And we also fed, clothed, and housed them, which the other ministries don't do. But they pay them. And so there was a lot of persecution that happened. And but what I'm doing is I'm taking all these tapes and getting them on DVDs. And there's approximately 300 of them. And so we're going to put them on our website, and you'll be able to order them as well and play them on your DVD players at home and watch us on television as we were during those 10 years that we were on the air. And the message that we preached is so strong that they didn't want us on the air any longer, and they took us off radio for years, and it's just kind of sort of like, I wonder what's going on here, because they wanted to snuff us, to silence us. But God has opened up some of these doors now, and praise the Lord. We're just going along with it. Anytime a door opens up, I'll be the first one to rush through. All right, then what else you got there?
Therefore, we are kindly looking forward to your kind and sincere offer. We do pray that our Almighty God may bless and further strengthen you, that through your ministry, millions of souls throughout the world will come to know the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Yours in God's service, D.T. from Malaysia Province, Solomon Islands.
Praise the Lord. We too really appreciate everyone's prayers out there, and we pray for you as well. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then from India, my dearly beloved and spiritually treasured brother and leader, the Reverend Tony Alamo, and all the faithful associates at the Alamo Christian Church in the Lord Jesus Christ, warm greetings and felicitations to you all in the precious name of our Lord and blessed Savior Jesus Christ. It is a great privilege for me to write to you this letter in Jesus' name for your kind notice, favorable consideration, and possible help. The love of God and the knowledge about your benignity and kindness calls me to introduce myself. I am 54 years old, having my own church with 27 families in the congregation in a small village in Andhra Pradesh in South India. We are sure and are full of enough awareness that you have been supporting generously towards the needy gospel workers in India and throughout the globe. With your faithful service and tremendous love, many are being blessed and grow exceedingly, and the charity of yours abounds, which is a manifest token of the righteousness of God. And I am very excited to tell you that the Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletters are touching many lives in our nation and winning numerous souls for our coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. For all the work in the Lord is not in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:58. My wife and I have been pastoring independently since 29 years among the secluded caste and secluded tribes who are living in the interior and tribal areas. There is not any kind of help behind us. We are purely living in faith lines. God has called us, and he is using us in his vineyard work powerfully. Thank God, as the doors of India are widely opened for the gospel work. So we have to work day and night to win the lost souls for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are visiting door to door and village to village to spread the gospel of salvation of eternal life. Many people are receiving the gospel and responding positively. Most of the Hindus and tribal people are coming forward to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior.
Is this better than bombing them?
Amen.
You know, just because they don't believe the way we do, the Lord has sent us into the world, like the Apostle Paul went to Athens, and he preached the gospel to those that believed in this false god, Diana, and they were saved. Amen?
Amen.
So there was a riot, you know, that went on because of all these people that built statues of her. They were going to lose money, but they could have started farming or something like that. Don't worry about the ones that persecute you, because it was more important that they believe in Jesus so that their souls could be saved. And then it is important for people to have an income, you know. What good is all if you made all the money in the world and lost your soul? So that's not a very good way to think, that because of the gospel that you're going to lose income. you better not think that way, because you'll lose your soul, which is a lot worse than losing income. All right, then what else?
With our personal resources and love offerings from the congregation, we have been looking after 4 destitute children who were born to unwedded mothers, and in the same place where I have been conducting the church services every Sunday, as well as I am conducting street rallies, youth retreats, holding open-air meetings, cottage prayers, and witnessing about Jesus in hospitals.
This always happens in Catholic countries where there's a lot of orphanages, because they don't believe in divorce for fornication or adultery, but they believe that you should just go and fornicate with other women, and then they have children, and they send them to these orphanages. And that's always in these different false religious places. You know, it's just sad, but we are very much supposed to aid people like this so that the children will not grow up like their parents. And we'd like to win their parents as well to the Lord, because they're condemned already. We're not going to condemn them. We just want to win their souls. All right, then what?
And I reach many with the gospel of Jesus through public meetings. These are helping us to develop our ministry in this area and surrounding villages. We need your kind help to do more and more service for our Lord than in the years gone by. God has called us to do work in his vineyard, so he is leading, guiding, and protecting us in his ministry. He is blessing all the efforts of mine that I am trying to extend the glorious kingdom of God. In our recent campaign meeting, hundreds of people gathered and heard the message of salvation and received your literature. As a result of this holy gathering, 20 people sought salvation and took baptism. If they remain faithful, it would be a great blessing to me. Please do pray for those new children of God. I covet your blessed prayers, encouragement, cooperation, and spiritual aid, such as newsletters, the Messiah books, and Telugu Holy Bibles, for the upliftment and growth of our work in our area and surrounding villages. God is using me and giving me the power to heal the sick people. Through my prayers, sick people of different kinds are being healed, so people are bringing their sick people to me for the prayers.
Praise the Lord. Then what else?
They that came to me are going back to their homes happily. Sick people who are cured by my prayers are witnessing for Christ boldly. As a camel seeks for the water in the desert, I am wanting to receive your precious help. We are praying for your ministry development in India and elsewhere. Please do pray for me and for our gospel ministry growth. I will be looking forward to hearing from you soon with your precious benevolence. Your brother in his mighty service, Pastor U.S. from Mahendrawada, India.
All right, we're going to send them a love offering, and but I will divulge the information of how much, because I want God to bless me. I don't want to say it over the radio, all right? So make sure to remind me after the radio broadcast. And then also, let's keep them fortified with literature and Bibles and everything. All right, then what's next?
Then a letter from Uganda, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, how are you and how is the work of the Lord? I thank God for you and the work that he is doing through you in Uganda. I am just a youth in Uganda, and I have been conducting the work of distributing your gospel literature in most of the schools in Uganda, and a lot of students have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Last year, I distributed 500 copies of your gospel literature in my school where I studied, and around 400 students accepted Christ. And through using your literature, which I got from a brother, I have managed to reach at least 40 students who are willing to know the truth and move for Jesus Christ. Also, your literature is stopping the move of Catholics, and most of them have already accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Praise the Lord. See, we don't want to bomb or hurt Catholics. We want to win them to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because Catholicism will never win your soul, but Jesus will. Amen?
Amen.
Buddhism will never win your soul, or Hinduism, or any of these Shintoisms, or any of that, but the Lord is the Savior of the world. No one else. No other religion. Nothing. But Christ. Okay, then what?
And they are still learning a lot from the Bible, and I am guiding them through the Bible and making them grow stronger in their salvation.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Please, Pastor, at first it was not easy to move to Catholics because they proved to be hostile and even being very hard to accept the gospel. But the power of God has done its work in the Catholic Church. I ask you to pray for me and take me to be part of your ministry that you're doing for our Lord Jesus Christ. I am now in my holidays, and I have just received some of your copies of Mass Suicide from a brother, and I am trying my best to move and take them to different areas while preaching there. And I am also praying for the sick, mostly in hospitals and other health centers in Uganda. In addition, I went to revisit most Catholics who got saved to encourage them, because many of them communicate to me and tell me that they are harassed by their church leaders and parents. So please keep on praying for them to be strong and stronger. As Mass Suicide says, that the last end is near, and what we should do is to be there for God and work for Him, since it's the only work that God is happy with, and He will bless us when we see Him face to face.
That Mass Suicide piece of literature that the Lord gave me to write, it has to do with people that don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ or are committing spiritual mass suicide. The whole world, any part of the world that rejects the Lord is committing spiritual suicide, because everyone's going to stand before the judgment bar of God, and if you're not saved, if you're not born again of the Spirit, if you're not walking in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be lost, and that's a very grim fact. Okay, then what?
Anyways, brother, we thank you, and as part of the work of Jesus Christ, I will be praying for it to cover every part of the world and call many for salvation. Literature is still needed in some parts of Uganda where I have not reached, and I only pray that God will provide you with power to produce more for His work. As God's mercy and kindness is strong, we shall meet and be happy together on that day. We shall meet in heaven if we are doing His work. With many blessings, S.C. from Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Stock this brother up with much literature and whatever he needs. All right, then what else?
That's it.
All right, now we're going into the 10th chapter of Matthew. Go ahead. And we're going to do the translation rather than King James Version, because most people... this is just translation from King James Version, all right?
Jesus sending out the 12 apostles. Verse 1. Jesus called his 12 apostles to him and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness.
See, it doesn't say exorcism, right?
Right.
To cast out evil spirits, and that happens by the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
Verse 2. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, James's brother. Verse 3, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus. Verse 4, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Verse 5, Jesus sent the 12 disciples out with these instructions, quote, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, verse 6, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Verse 7, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received! Exclamation mark. Verse 9, don't take any money with you. Verse 10, don't carry a traveler's bag with an extra coat and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. Verse 11. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy man and stay in his house until you leave for the next town. Verse 12. When you are invited into someone's home, give it your blessing. Verse 13. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing. Verse 14. If a village doesn't welcome you or listen to you, shake off the dust of that place from your feet as you leave. Verse 15. I assure you, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off on the day of judgment than that place will be. Verse 16. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. be as wary as snakes and harmless as doves. Verse 17, beware! Exclamation mark, for you will be handed over to the courts and beaten in the synagogues. Verse 18, and you must stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me, yes, to witness to the world. Verse 19, when you are arrested, don't worry about what to say in your defense, because you will be given the right words at the right time. Verse 20, for it won't be you doing the talking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Verse 21, brother will betray brother to death, fathers will betray their own children, and children will rise against their parents and cause them to be killed. Verse 22, and everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me, but those who endure to the end will be saved. Verse 23, when you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I assure you that I, the Son of Man, will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Verse 24, a student is not greater than the teacher. A servant is not greater than the master. Verse 25, the student shares the teacher's fate. The servant shares the master's fate. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, how much more will it happen to you, the members of the household? Verse 26, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything will be revealed. All that is secret will be made public. Verse 27, what I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ears, shout from the housetops for all to hear! Exclamation mark. Verse 28, don't be afraid of those who want to kill you. They can only kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29, not even a sparrow worth only half a penny can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. Verse 30, and the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows. Verse 32, if anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will openly acknowledge that person before my Father in heaven. Verse 33, but if anyone denies me here on earth, I will deny that person before my Father in heaven. Verse 34, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth! Exclamation mark. No, I came to bring a sword. Verse 35, I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36, your enemies will be right in your own household! Exclamation mark. Verse 37,
you know, usually when a person gets saved, right, your family will rise up and notice a radical change in you, that you've become spiritual, and you don't want to run the way that you did before. You may be going to nightclubs and things. Your friends will hate you because you don't want to go with them anymore. And so you're going to run into opposition, and your family will say that you're supposed to take care of me and so on. But the Bible says if they don't want to, but Jesus said anyone that puts mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter before me, they're not worthy of him. So he says, come and follow me, not anybody else. And that's what we have to do, is to be obedient to God, be obedient to the one that died for us on the cross and shed his blood. Because when you show your family that God is more important to you than they are, then they'll start respecting God also, and they'll have a chance to get saved. But if you show them that, oh, you're going to do what they say rather than God, there won't be any hope for them to get saved at all, and there won't be any hope for you to be saved either, because disobedience to God's word is the same as witchcraft. It may sound strange to you, but God is always right. You'll never go wrong. It may seem cruel to you to not do what your parents want and to do what the Lord says, but I saw my own family saved by turning my back on them, and then they started paying attention to what God said and wanted to know more about what I was doing. And my mother even told me, she said, I wish your dad would have been like you. He gave away everything that we had. And she was had an alcoholic problem, and she wanted money. And I said, no, the money I have belongs to my wife and myself and the ministry. And actually what it was the ministry, because we were living in a $60 a month place behind a filling station. And right now I live in a very humble little house somewhere. I don't like to tell exactly where I live. I live in a little bungalow where the bedroom is just about 7 feet from the kitchen, and the bed is about 2 feet, 3 feet from where I do my taping, and I've got two other little rooms in the house and a bathroom. And so, you know, the money that we have is for the gospel. And so my mother got saved through me being stern with her as far as the scripture said. She said, well, the Bible says that a man is supposed to support his mother. I said, Mom, where does that say that in the Bible? I said, you know that the Bible says that a man should leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife, because they two become one flesh. And that we've been called, God put Sue and myself together. And she passed away, of course, in 1982, April 8th. And he put us together, and we went in, we were both in the ministry. And so when she, that shocked her when I came back with that, because I knew the answer from the Bible. It doesn't say that you have to do that. As a matter of fact, when a man says, I want to go bury my dad, he says, let the dead bury their dead. Because the person that is spiritually dead, what have we got to do with them? We're all children of the Lord if we're doing his commandments. If not, we're children of the devil. We're not supposed to be supporting them with God's money. Show that God is king in your life so that they have an opportunity to get saved. If you don't, there's no chance for them, and you won't be saved either. So there's rules and regulations to follow after you become a Christian. You can't just do your own thing. You have to abide by what the Lord says. Now, these are what most people think are very cruel things to say, because mama, you know, I have to take care of mama or daddy. Not if they're not serving the Lord. You're really doing them a favor by reproving them, because they're going to get the door slammed in their face in the kingdom of heaven if you don't become a strong witness for them. And that's strong, you know, when you come unto your loved ones that way. And you're really loving them when you do, because they'll wake up. That's a wake-up call to them. They say, my God, this guy really believes God, because it does say that in the Bible. Give them the scripture and verse, and then they'll start paying attention. They'll say, well, if I get saved, will you help me? Well, not just for that. If you get saved and you start serving the Lord, of course, the whole body of Christ will help you. You're part of the biggest family in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Except for Satan's family. Satan's family is larger than ours, just like the people of the world were more than the children of God when God destroyed the whole world by flooding it. All of those people were, you know, they were the big old family of unborn, unsaved people. Lost people, sinners, evil people, and God drowned them all and saved only 8 souls. So there's more evil than there is good, and that's why God's going to burn this place up pretty soon. All right, then what?
Verse 37, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine.
See, there it is right in the scriptures. I didn't have any realization. I forgot that it was here. But there, I just caught that. So don't think I'm making this up, folks. Okay, then what else?
Verse 38. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. Verse 39. If you cling to your life, you will lose it.
Yeah, if your old life, if you cling to the old way that you lived, and, you know, sinful life, and you said the prayer, you go to church on Sundays, that's not Christianity. Or you go on Wednesday and Sunday. Christianity is walking in the Spirit, having the Spirit of God living in you, and working in you and through you, and reading the Bible, and being in the ministry. That's the gospel, the good news. Okay, then what?
But if you give it up for me, you will find it.
If you give up your life for the Lord to have permanent life, eternal life, all of us have temporal life. This is just not permanent at all. But when we accept the Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, souls, and minds, then we have permanent, eternal, everlasting life. Going to church doesn't do that. Going to some cult, false religion doesn't do anything for you. It's just a social order where you show off your clothes or the car, your new car or something like that. That doesn't do anything for your soul. It doesn't do anything for anybody else's soul. But you must be born again, Jesus said. Then what?
Verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you is welcoming me, and anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. Verse 41. If you welcome a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will receive the same reward a prophet gets. And if you welcome good and godly people because of their godliness, you will be given a reward like theirs. Verse 42. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded.
All right, that was the end of chapter 10, Matthew, 42 verses translation. Now the commentary.
Chapter 10, verses 16 through 26. Those of us living for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and pursuing the fullness of Christ may feel like sheep in the presence of wolves, because that's what the Lord said we are. But when wisdom, the fear of the Lord, and honesty define our behavior and relationships with the Lord and with people, we are then able to face inevitable misunderstandings and persecutions. Jesus suffered incredible amounts at the hands of godless people, and those who are committed to him, if you are, you'll definitely receive the exact same treatment. If we persevere in following God's will for us, we will receive a great reward in heaven and also here. See chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Chapter 10, verse 39. The only way to find life and get control of our life and to have permanent life is to submit ourselves to the Lord through Jesus Christ. Living for self, we become a slave to material things. Some people even materially find success, work, alcohol, illicit sex, or any number of other destructive behaviors. We have lost control of our life and are in trouble. By turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, we then allow him to cleanse us of our addictions and show us the way to permanent, true, immortal life and a life here on earth free of any destructive dependencies. As we learn to obey the law, the Lord, we will find meaning in our present life and have eternal peace with God. So it's easy to slip back into worrying about tomorrow, dwelling on, quote, what if this and what if that, unquote, and then, quote, if onlys, unquote, quote, if only I could do this, if only this would happen, unquote. Each day brings out a host of things that we cannot change. There will always be circumstances beyond our control.
Yeah, but the more that we do what the Lord says to do, the more that all the good things will happen every day, okay? Not every day, but most of the days. I mean, I just enjoy every day. All right, then what else?
We must also face the reality of who we are. Who are we? We are human beings confined within the slice of life that we call today. But we can't forget that we're also human beings, but that we're God-men human beings. God men and God women, God humanity. But still, because we're in the flesh, it is also tempting to deny the present. But escaping reality is part of the insanity of some of the people in this world's addiction, or addictive way of burying their head in the sand. That's their way of life, if you want to call it life. Jesus said, quote, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today, unquote. Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through 34. The prophet Jeremiah said, quote, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends, exclamation mark. By his mercies we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness, his mercies being afresh each day, unquote. This is found in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Since God's power comes in daily doses, that's the best way to face life, is to rely on God's doses of power. We need to ask ourselves at every turn in life, am I accepting this present moment as the Lord commands me to, or am I pretending? Or am I trying to escape into the past or into some state of mind or the future? Each day there is something to find joy in the Lord, and there is strength promised by the Lord for the troubles of that day. The psalmist David wrote, quote, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," unquote. Psalm 118, verse 24. We too can choose to find joy, strength, and sanity when we accept each day's realities. Matthew and Simon the Zealot. It has been said that opposites attract, just as often, however, opposites repel. The difference between people often result in complementary relationships in which the strengths of one make up for the weaknesses of the other. But in some cases, the differences lead only to continual strife. Marriage relationships are often comprised of two opposites, resulting in either great teamwork or terrible conflict. Two of Jesus' 12 disciples, Matthew and Simon the Zealot, were opposites. Matthew was a Jew who worked for the Roman government as a tax collector. People of this occupation were known for their corruption. They grew rich by extorting excess taxes from their own oppressed people. These tax collectors were non-religious, not at all godly, and needless to say were hated and despised as traitors by their countrymen.
They were the IRS of that day. Okay, then what else?
As indicated by his title, the Zealot, Simon at the very least was a religious fanatic. This term was sometimes used to label people with intense zeal for the law of Moses and Jewish religious tradition. It could also identify someone who belonged to the religious political party known as the Zealots, who wanted to overthrow the Roman government. If Simon was a member, he would have been strongly opposed to the Roman occupation of Judea, while Matthew was an integral part of its government. Surely these men were opposites. Both Matthew and Simon met Jesus and realized the emptiness and futility of their former pursuits. Both gave up what they had to follow Christ in faith and experience new, permanent, eternal life, life that developed from the inside out. Both were transformed by the God of the Bible, who transforms people into God people, who could love and accept those who are very different from themselves. So the strength and the accomplishments of Matthew and Simon, 1, both were capable men, 2, both men were willing to recognize that they needed to change, 3, both men made Jesus the center of their lives, enabling them to work with people quite different from themselves. Now their weaknesses and mistakes. 1, both had been driven by short-sighted motivations before following Jesus. 2, as a tax collector, Matthew had probably used his position to extort money from the poor. 3. As a zealot, Simon probably condoned the use of violence for achieving his political ends. Now the lessons from their lives. 1. Financial success cannot replace the need for a relationship with God. 2. If Christ is at the center of a real relationship, no difference is too great to overcome. 3. Differences can be used to strengthen relationships and must not be used as an excuse to destroy them. Now, the key verses are, quote, "The disciples," unquote, went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here is the list of those who were present. Matthew, Simon the Zealot, Acts 1:13. The story of the apostles, Matthew and Simon the Zealot, is found in the Gospels. Both men are also mentioned in the books of Acts, chapter 1, I'm sorry, both men are also mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 13.
All right, and now we have receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is part 11. Go ahead.
Reigning with Christ. Another condition of one who is full of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ is he that reigns with Christ. One must attain to the position of reigning with Christ that his life might become one with Christ.
Right. You may call yourself a born-again Christian, but the Lord has called us. You know, he gave Adam the rulership of the earth, but Adam lost that. When we come back to Christ, then we must take the rulership, the authority and the power that God gave Adam, and use it, because it's in Christ now. And so we're to, Christ is the actual ruler of the entire universe, and we're part of his body, and his spirit, God the Father, with Christ and the Holy Spirit, which Christ is and which God is in our mortal body. And God has called us for a purpose, and that is to rule, to reign, to have power and authority over everything in this world, including secular. Of course, we're not to be involved with secular business at all, secularism, but we're to preach the gospel to them and to show them that they're condemned and that they need to get saved. And we, when they try to come to us with some of their doctrine, their ungodly, worldly, satanic, Antichrist doctrine, we are to come against it verbally by the gospel and tell them, no, we're not going to go that way, that you must go the Lord's way. And so if we don't do that, if we don't reign or take the authority that the Lord has given us now and the power and the dominion, then we are like salt that has lost its savor. We are to be trodden underfoot by men, and they will trod you under if you don't get out and speak the Lord's mind. Not your mind, but the Lord's mind. Amen?
Amen.
We're put on the mind of Christ so we can let him speak his mind through us to the people of the world, and that's reigning with Christ. That's taking power, authority, dominion over everything in this world. And so there isn't a president or a king that has the authority that we have. We are the authorities, those of us that are in a reigning position. You know, most pastors, all pastors should be people reigning. But the problem is most of the people today that call themselves pastors do not reign, and they're not even, a lot of them are not born again. A lot of them are false prophets, so you have to watch out for that. And it could be, you know, a lot of people say, well, not my church. Listen, don't defend your church. Defend Christ, the Word of God. That's what you're to do. If your church is preaching the gospel and they're really right with the Lord, then that's okay to defend it. But, I mean, if you're wrong, admit it and get out of there if they won't change. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
One must attain to the position of reigning with Christ that his life might become one with Christ.
Right, so that people can see Christ in us. They don't have any respect for you if you just are like a mouse or, you know, like church mice. You go there and you be quiet and you don't reign, that you saw the motion picture, you know, where Pat Boone sings that song, Friendly Persuasion, you know, and they're all dressed with their bonnets and it looks so godly, you know. But it sure doesn't typify anything from the Bible, you know, and it's talking about the I love more than the mulberries on the hill, and more than the daffodils and all this, and it's talking about a woman, not the Lord, you know, and she's just in a bonnet, and, you know, a lot of people I've seen in bonnets are screaming witches, okay, and they're little long dresses and everything, they wouldn't witness to anybody. I was walking down the street one night, standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, distributing literature, and this old grandma-looking lady with a cane started walking into this restaurant that used to be there on the corner. And I says, praise the Lord, you want one of these? And she says, go to hell. Go to hell. And I says, get in there, you old hag. Get in there and get yourself something to eat. Man, I couldn't believe, you know, that here's... So I learned that a long time when I was a young Christian. I just figured, oh, Grandma is so sweet and like Friendly Persuasion. She had a little bonnet on and everything and a long dress. don't go by the outward appearance. Amen?
Amen.
Or just because she's an old lady, you can help them across the street, and sometimes they'll give you a good caning for it. You know, they'll take their cane and put some stripes on your back. But, you know, you still got to persevere there. But don't go by the outward appearance of what the Lord says. He looks on the inward part. And some people that are the most crude-looking people in the world are the most godly. That's just amazing. John the Baptist was crude-looking, and nobody that you'd ever expect to be of the Lord. And same with Elijah. And a lot of the different prophets were not what you would consider to be the choice of God, but they were. The choice of God has always astounded human beings because they always go for the bonnets and the black suits and the long faces, and there's just a certain type of clean-cut looking type guy, which John the Baptist was not, and neither was Jesus. None of the people of the Lord really were these clean-cut guys. Okay, then what?
One must attain to the position of reigning with Christ that his life might become one with Christ. In other words, mature. If we desire to learn whether or not we are mature in eternal life, we must ascertain whether or not we can reign in the spiritual life. We cannot ask a six-year-old child to rule, even if we crown him king and give him reign with everything subject to his control. He will run off to play ball or swimming or something. If the life is insufficient, there is no possibility of reigning. Even some baby Christians or a person that has just been saved for maybe 10 or 15 years cannot reign unless they have someone powerful over them. When one's life attains to maturity, he reigns automatically. Consider the maiden in the Song of Songs. It was not until her inner life became bright as the morning, fair as the moon, and clear as the sun, that she manifested her majesty and was terrible as an army with banners. Song of Solomon 6:10. If one has not attained to this transcendent and heavenly state, and yet claims himself to be experienced and standing in a high position, he is only displaying his own glory and power. It is an ugly display and certainly not reigning. Therefore, reigning is not only a matter of position, but also of eternal, immortal, permanent life of God in you. In order to reign, one needs the position and much more eternal, immortal, permanent life.
Yeah, now the position is that you must be ascended with Christ in heavenly places. That's the position that you have to be, in the position of ascension in order to reign. It's like you can see in all the battles that everyone tries to get on top of the hill, so you've got a vantage point of against the enemy. This is in carnal warfare. They always try to get to the highest spot, to where you've got a bead on your enemies. Well, this may come from just the deep down knowledge. You know, Satan often tries to imitate the Lord, but the Lord has the greatest vantage point of anyone in the universe. He's sitting in heavenly places, and if we're there with him, then we are able to reign because we're sitting in the highest vantage point in the entire universe. We're on top of everything. We're able to wage spiritual warfare, and we are then a member of the body of Christ in full maturity. So, all right, until tomorrow, chapter 11, Matthew, and part 12 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, read the Bible. If you say, well, read Psalms, read it, and read Proverbs. Read something in the Bible to keep the spiritual power and growth going in you. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.